come and we'll stand face to face. Come and lay it all down, 'cause it might be today. The time is right now, there's no need to wait. Your past will be won, the rivers of grace.
All right, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. I just love that song. Come, Jesus, come. How we worship you, Lord. You know, yesterday when we was doing our tabernacle study, you know, about the holiest of holies, the holy of holies, the most holiest place. You know, we think about the Ark of the Covenant, you know, what was contained within the ark was Aaron's rod that budded and then bore fruit out of nothing, out of a dry stick, right? And then you had the manna, and then you have the word of God. Well, if you think about that, it kind of represents God, doesn't it? If you think about the word of God as Jesus, Jesus says, I am the word. I am the truth, the way, and the life, you know. Aaron's rod that budded, you know, would be like God. And the manna would be like the Holy Spirit, the manifestation of God. You know, it's pretty cool. I never thought about that before. It's a revelation. But when we read our Bible, that's what it is. You know, the Bible actually is God. It is a revelation of who he is in all aspects, you know, because the Old Testament is God the Father. So we're learning, okay, this is how he thinks. This is how he revealed himself to mankind, how he created mankind, how he created the earth, and how he is, his personality. You know, the way that he made the law. And just think about how he revealed it. You know, he revealed it with all of the people that was close to him, his entire family. He had, of course, you know, the children of Israel were at the bottom of the mountain. And he had his, you know, closest confidant to him that he was talking to, which was Moses. But he was revealing himself to all of his inner circle, you know. And the way that we've learned about matter, how matter expresses itself, think about what happened on that day when God revealed himself to mankind. The earth shook, the mountains quaked, you know. Lightning and you know, all these, it's because God was near. So the manifestations of God's presence, the earth couldn't hardly handle it, is the way I see it. And so the people that was way at the bottom of the mountain saw all this, you know, and God even spoke loud enough for a minute to where the people at the bottom of the mountain could understand him. You know, I mean, it's just so amazing. So that's the Old Testament. And then you begin to see how, you know, God's law that he had and the certain requirements of the tabernacle where, you know, all of these had to be slain certain ways and they had to look like this and had to be cut like this. I mean, it's so meticulous, okay? But it's all because of how God is with sin. This is why you have the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. Because it is like levels. It really is. Now, the thing that is interesting to note is that even God's inner circle, his children of Israel, the tribes of Israel, they could not live up to the law. They would try, but they would fail. When you read about all the kings and, you know, this one pleased God, this one didn't, this did, this did. You know, the law was just so hard to live by. And the sacrifices that were made in the Old Testament were just only coverings. It was not forgiveness. And the mankind, the people did not have help. They did not have help. All they had was one man, the Levi priest. They would go to him, and then he would address their sin. You know, so it was a totally different world back then. This is why they could not live it. It was way too hard. So God divorced them. He had to separate because he kept trying and trying. You know, they would be in exile 400 years and then, you know, come back and back and forth, back and forth. So finally he just divorced them. This is, you know, in a short, what happened. In the middle of the Bible, right after he divorced them, came Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. How he's the Son without a mother, I don't know. There is a woman on YouTube that says that the Holy Spirit is the mother. And that the three in one is a family unit. It would make sense, but I've always understood the Holy Spirit is a man. But the Bible does describe wisdom as a woman. So that's just up for people's interpretation. But it would make sense if it's the family unit. You know, God the Father, and then the wife is the Holy Spirit, and then the Son is Jesus. You know, but it's never been really discussed in that way. But I just wanted you to know that that theory is out there. Now, okay, so Jesus came in the middle of the Bible. And he became the perfect Lamb. Now, to me, Jesus is the whole reason of the Bible. And some denominations actually went over the top with Jesus only, over this revelation of who Jesus really is. So they built a whole foundation and a whole doctrine and a whole denomination over Jesus only. That's called United Pentecostal. And you'll see when they say they're apostolics, that's what they are. Most of them are Jesus only. And what that means is that they do not believe in the Trinity, but they're totally debunked. Their theology is wrong because the Trinity is very much true. I mean, even in the beginning of time when they created, they said, let us, we, you know. It's all plural, if you understand the English, proper English language here. So the Trinity is very obvious. Jesus, you know, down there praying before he was crucified, you know, he was separate. He's a separate entity from God. God the Father has his role. Jesus, Son, the Son has his role, and the Holy Ghost has their role. Okay? So Jesus was praying to God, but the oneness Pentecostal, the apostolics that say Jesus only declare there is no Trinity. So they refuse to understand or even believe or even look at the doctrine that there is three in one. They believe it's all Jesus because, and I see where they get it to a point, you know, but they're still missing the big picture of the three in one, because you can't even look at the image that we are if you deny the Trinity, because we are three in one. We are made up of three parts. We are a spirit that was given by God and goes back to God when you die. Then you have the body, which is the earth. It is flesh. When it talks about the flesh, that's what it means. But then you have what makes up us. We are not the body and we are not the spirit. We are what's in the middle, and this is what is being judged and where the spiritual warfare is. It is the soul. It is the mind, the will, and the emotions. Okay, so this is what's judged, and that is what's going to go to heaven or hell immediately. There's no waiting period. There's no purgatory like Catholics say. No. So when you look at the human, as we are the image of God, and then the three different parts, you have to see God that way. It says we are created in his image. Okay. So anyway, so Jesus, in the middle of the Bible, Jesus comes and he reveals, hey, I was born in a manger. The Lamb was born in human form. I am here. Even the sky testified that Jesus was born. The Lamb of God, the Savior of all creation, was born. And it led the wise men to the manger where they met the promise. Can you imagine that epic moment when they looked at the baby that they have heard about their entire life that was coming? And they look and see, you are the Messiah. Wow, look at you. Look at you and a little baby born in a manger. And then he was meant his entire life to be a martyr. He was meant to be put up on that piece of wood, just like you're learning in the tabernacle, on that shittim wood, that acacia wood. He was put up there, and the blood come down that altar, and he was slain. So then when he died, that covenant of the Old Testament was finished. It is finished. The Lamb that was slain, the Word of God wrapped in flesh, come down and gave his life willingly and shed his blood on that altar so that he could go down into hell and get the keys back from Satan, who now had it through Adam. I know I'm getting very technological this morning, or theological. And he rose on the third day, walked out into the garden, and gave us access by the keys. These are the real keys we want right here. Keys to the kingdom. He walked right back in the garden and made it right for us, the Lamb. So that's the middle of the Bible. Jesus, the Lamb of all lambs, the sacrifice of all sacrifice, rolled up into one. Now the veil is torn. Now we have access to our Father. And Jesus tells them, his apostles, he says, I've got to go so that you can now have help. Now, see, think about the humans in the Old Testament had no help. Jesus, because he died, opened up the door for us to have access and put the temple on the inside of us. He told them, he told the Jews, he said, I'm going to tear down this temple in 3 days. Yes, I am. And he rose from the dead, and now the temple is on the inside of the humans. He took it back, and now he said, I have to go, so that the Holy Spirit will come. Because this is what we need to survive, is the Holy Spirit. to be able to live the law and more. Because Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law. See, because of him, it is so much more. It is faith and it is grace. So when Jesus left, the apostles was in the upper room along with all their people, and they was all waiting on that promise of the Holy Ghost. And when he came, it set on them as fire. Let's all go back to Moses. When God was revealed, there was fire, wasn't it? The burning bush, when God revealed himself to Moses. God the Father. Now the Holy Ghost has come. Now the revelation of the fire is upon each one of us. And the Holy Ghost come and begins to fill our tongue with the glory of God, speaking in tongues. This is our power and this is our strength. Now, the Holy Spirit is in you as a superpower. You know, Dee last night in the Bible college class, she goes, you know what I love about how you teach is, you teach as a child, but it's not like a child. It's like you teach in that understanding. And that is what I'm trying to tell you about the Holy Spirit, in a way that you will understand what he really means to us and why it is so important for us to pray in tongues. Because, all right, if you think about the law and the covenant that they had in the Old Testament and why they could not keep it. Because remember that the law is a cookie cutter pattern. It is a you do this, you get this, eye for an eye, yada yada, da 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 da. It's this or that. Reasoning. Your mind can figure it out. A cookie cutter pattern. But with Jesus, it's faith. When you pray in tongues, you are giving your tongue, your most unruly member, over to the Spirit, which is part of your triune being. And you are allowing your spirit to overtake your reasoning, your mind. And you're praying the perfect will of God. That's your strength. Because the Bible says, when you pray in tongues, you're building up what? Your most holy faith. This morning I was praying in tongues. And I was yawning. And I told Dennis, I said, Dennis, because you know, he is my pastor. You know, and I totally respect him as my pastor. And I told him, I said, which is an advantage of being married to a pastor. You constantly have a pastor, you know. And I told him, I said, you do that too, Leslie, when you pray in tongues? You yawn? Well, I asked Dennis, I said, Dennis, I need to make a confession. I said, I got a problem, Dennis. And he said, what? I said, when I pray in tongues, I want to yawn. And I'm thinking it's maybe it's obstructing maybe when I pray in tongues, it's obstructing my breathing pathways or something. He goes, no, you know what that is what I think it is. I said, what? He said, I notice sometimes I do that as well. He said, I'm not sleepy or anything. He said, what that is demons coming out. I said, what? Because then I remembered Dr. Morris, when he does deliverance, they will yawn. Any type of out, they'll belch. Some of them will belch. It's an outward manifestation of demons coming out. Oh, I see, Leslie. Okay, yeah. But the thing is when you pray in tongues, you are surrendering yourself over to God to use and to pray through you. Okay, so then going back to the Bible and the revelation of who God is. Okay, so Jesus left to give us the Holy Spirit. We are still in this manifestation of time of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the Holy Spirit can go into each person, and the Holy Spirit strengthens them to be able to walk it out and to operate in miracles, signs, and wonders like Jesus did. But Jesus even tells us that we can do more than he did. The question is, why are we not, right? So, but there is coming a time with which we are at today, when this time of the Holy Spirit manifestation will be over. When is that going to be? It's going to be when the harvest sickle comes and they take us away. You know, they term it as rapture, but rapture actually means rape, so we don't want to call it rapture. But it's a caught away, a catching away, okay? And what that, it's definitely not pre-trib, okay? That doctrine is not true, the pre-trib. I believe that they planted that in Christians' minds so that they would be, in the end of days, they would take the mark and be none the wiser. That's why I believe they did all the movies and everything else, because the very ones that did the movies are the ones now partnering with the beast. And I never would have thought it would have been them Pentecostal speaking in tongues. How dare you? You know what I'm saying? Y'all are the ones that, you know, was on TV talking about healing and everything. What about it now? Do y'all see these people preaching healing and stuff anymore? You know, because if they took the V, they have no more rights, is the way I see it, to preach about healing. Because you totally shot your testimony right there. But anyway, so when the angel comes and swings that harvest sickle and Jesus comes to take the bride, the final bride home, that's when the wrath will be poured out and it will be beyond horrible. Now, I do believe that before the angel comes to take us, there will be a period of martyrdom, a period of, you know, a time of persecution like we've never seen. You know, a time of, I want to say torture, but I don't really know if it's going to be torture. But there's going to be a time of us being handed over. We, of course, already have a lot of our brothers and sisters across the world that have been handed over for a long time. You know, that have been martyred and things like that. But I think for us, we're going to be the final one. Because, you know, we are kind of the heads of the world, the leaders of the free world, and the fact that we are Babylon, because we are the ones that was the most Christian out of all nations. I remember when I wrote my book, Mark of the Beast, when it was actually a college paper, you know, back from 2012. You know, I talked about it back then. You know, the fact that the United States is more Christian than Europe. We were the two Christian, what they would call like Christian nations. But we were the more conservative Christian than Europe. They were the more, you know, state religion and more monitored by the monarchy, yada, yada. They were more Catholic, you know. And we were the more Pentecostal, conservative, sending out more missionaries than any other country, yada, yada, you know. So when we leave, when the church leaves, it will be the time of wrath, and God will have been revealed. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, the ending book, which is where, you know, the Jesus-only doctrine comes in, is the book of Revelation. Not Revelations, the Revelation. It is the revelation of who Jesus is. Jesus is God. He is the Word. He is the Lamb that was slain. But where their doctrine is wrong, one of the biggest proofs is the fact of Jesus in the garden talking to God. If he was God, why would he have to do that? It's just so common sense. They don't have any leg to stand on, you know. And there's a few things that they do that I disagree with. Like one of the things is, well, there's a couple. One is the way that they believe that you cannot be filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues unless it is followed after baptism. So what they'll do is they'll baptize people, and then when they come up, they expect them to speak in tongues. And they will sit there till the cows come home until you release it. And they'll be looking at you like they're expecting you to release it because of this doctrine that they have. Another doctrine that they have is legalism, what I call legalism, where they require the women to dress from head to toe kind of like the Jewish women and the Muslim women. That's how they believe. If they could cover them women and have all of their head covered, they would, you know, because they believe the women should have cover from the neck down and long hair, no accessories, period. You know, no accessories, plain, no makeup, unassuming and quiet, you know. Now, I do believe that the husband is the head of the woman. I totally believe that a man is the head of the house. And I believe that a man should be a pastor of a church. Although I was the pastor of this church many years. But there is no male and female. But I still believe in God's order of things. So I prefer a man to be a pastor. But I have everyone that I served were all women pastors that God sent me to. So they are legit in God's eyes, you know, or he would not have sent me to them. But I'm just saying I prefer a man preacher, you know, type of deal. So I do believe in the order of the husband. Like sometimes Dennis would just tell me something to do and I say, yes, sir. You know, I don't buck him. I have bucked him a couple of times where my flesh would rise up, but I quickly repent. So my point is that I understand the role of the woman. But I still believe that the woman, I still believe that if they do it the way they're doing it, is oppressive to women. Because the men, you know, they're a lot more lenient on the men. You know, they can be more free-willy and stuff, you know, but the women are tied up in knots, you know, and I don't think that's right. But I feel like, man, as long as she's modest and not showing her stuff, and this is just my opinion, but how women should dress in church is to not bring cause for men to lust. So they shouldn't wear like anything tight, or it should be below their knees, and you know, they should be just respectful. You know, I don't feel like they should be sleeveless in church. They should have sleeves and be modest. You know, when they go for counseling, they should speak to the pastor's wife. If they go to the pastor, they should have the wife with them. You know, there's an order of it, but the way that this denomination does is it's severely oppressive. You know, they keep the women on one side of the church. Like when they do the altars, they'll have the women over here, the men over here, and the women are not allowed to pray. You know, it's just very different. Women are not allowed to preach. That's one of the big deals, you know. So anyways, but that goes along with that, you know, Jesus only type of doctrine. But anyways, so going back to how God is revealed in the Bible. So the Bible is closed. Now they've all been revealed as one. Just as the Bible, when you close it, you look at it as one, the book of Revelation is revealing that Jesus is God. It's the revelation of Jesus. He's the Lamb that was slain. He's the only one that could open that book, you know, the seals up in heaven and here in the end time scenario. He sits on the right hand of God, so how they can get past that many scriptures, I don't know. But he sits on the right hand and the God. He's God's right-hand man, you know, type of deal. Okay, so for us being the image of God, this is why demons cannot stand us. Because, and this is why I believe he wants to make us transhuman. He wants to take away your image of God. Your naturalness, you know. They don't want you being a tree anymore. Okay, so that's enough of that. And I don't know why I went into all that this morning, but there must be a reason for somebody out there that may be listening later. May need to understand what is the Trinity and how it applies to us today. So when we get saved, we accept what Jesus did as the Lamb. And as the Son of God, the whole purpose of the Messiah coming was that he would set us free. So that's why when we pray, everything's always in the name of Jesus. And that means that we accept what he did. And we believe what he did. So we're applying that blood from the altar, from the cross, on us, you know, in our need. Because we're the priest that goes to Jesus. You know, we're the kings and priests is what the Bible says. We're like the Levites. This is our temple, right? So this is our temple and we're the steward of it in the heavenlies, okay? So whenever we you know, need things, you know, our sacrifices is Jesus. So we accept that blood and we apply it to our temple, just like they do. See, I'm already giving you guys your, if you're taking notes, I'm already giving you your final exam. That's what their final exam is. They have to write a one-page paper on how Jesus, the temple represents Jesus. Okay, so now let's go ahead and get started. I'm going to read from my friend's daily inspiration. Her name is Opal Dalton. She is a minister that I honor, that I served when I was on the road. And, you know, back in the day when I was first starting in ministries and serving all of them for free those 3 years. She was one of them in my travels. So she wrote a book about inspirations daily. So I want to read you what she wrote today. Today is March the 25th. The harvest is God's heart. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Luke 10:2. Jesus gave the great commission to all believers. Go ye means you go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:19. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:15-16. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into uttermost parts of the earth. Acts 1:8. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:28. God never mentioned gender, race, age, denomination, or political party. He used young, old, women, men, boys, girls, and different nationalities. Your life is being watched not only by God, but by those in your circle of influence. You can make the difference in whether they go to heaven or not. He that wins souls is wise. Proverbs 11:30. So here's the prayer we're going to pray through her book. Give me souls today, Lord, and change lives, O Lord, as I carry on the Great Commission. In Jesus' name, amen. Isn't that a good one? Okay, now, I do have a word for you guys today. If you would turn your Bible to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Let me get my Bible open here. The one that I had at the house. Okay, Colossians chapter 4. Lord, we just thank you this morning that as we read your word, Lord, that you speak to us and use my mouth, Lord, for your glory. Thank you for your anointing, Lord, and thank you for speaking to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Colossians chapter 4. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Now, this is my man Paul writing. Okay, so let's all lift our hands because this is basically what Paul is saying right here. Okay, so Jesus, I am asking you today to use me to witness for your glory and open up the door for me to give utterance in Jesus' name. Amen. That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. In other words, God, give us favor today. Open the doors that we'll be able to witness to someone or help someone. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. In other words, consider the poor. Consider the weak. Remember that story when I told you how I was at, when I was the captain over the U.S. Capitol and how, you know, I was around them senators and congressmen all day and, you know, the people in D.C. highfalutin. And I would, you know, walk back to the tube, you know, the train. And it was, you had to walk past the Republican headquarters and right next to it was a country club, the Republican Country Club. And that's where all the movers and shakers within the Republican Party, I was in there all the time, you know, gathering information and whatnot. But that's where they would go to have drinks after they get off and all that kind of stuff and move and shake, you know. So I was walking past that where there was a man that was a homeless man that was on the floor with a hat asking people for money on the ground. And so this is that story of $5. So all I had was $5. I had five $1 bills. Now, at the time, my rent was due. my rent was due, $1,750. I mean, the biggest amount of rent I've ever paid, you know, and I've never paid rent that high before in my life, house note or nothing, you know. And so all I had was just $5 $1 bills. And I would have to live by faith and trust how God was going to pay for everything anyway. So I'm looking at all these people, you know, just passing by this homeless man and, you know, just totally ignoring him. But I've always had a heart for homeless people. And so I thought, well, I'll give him a dollar, you know, because I needed the other four to buy McDonald's. So I walked by him and I said, here you go, sir. I said, you know, good to see you or whatever. So I hand him the dollar. I let him know I see you. That's all they want to know. They know you can't solve their problems, but do you at least see that they're hurting, you know? And so he knew that I saw. So I continued on walking and I go down this escalator to go into the tube. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, why didn't you give that man all your money? And I bowed my head because I knew I was convicted for being selfish. Okay. So I had to tell God the truth, right? So I said, I wanted that other $4 to go to McDonald's because I'm hungry. And he said, go back and give that man all your money. I said, yes, sir. So I got back up the escalator and walked over to that man and humbled myself. And I told that man, sir, I'm so sorry. The Lord convicted me and I was selfish. You know, I have $5. So the Lord told me to give you all of my money. So here you go, sir. And I'm so sorry. Well, he was so impressed that he stood up and started crying. And he said, will you please pray for me, ma'am? I said, sure. So as I was praying for him, the sun was shining on my head. And I told you guys how God is with me about the sun. I don't know how to explain it, but when I traveled the country in 2017 to 36 states, 18,000 miles on the $20, the sun shined the entire time except the day I left. So you're talking 6 months of sunshine. He has totally just blessed me with sunshine. I don't know how to explain it. But anyway, so while I was praying for this guy out there in front of all these people walking by, God was on me like something. I mean, I had the fire of God all over me. I felt his presence right out there in the open because I knew God was loving on me and thanking me as I was loving on this man on behalf of God because the kingdom of God has come under this man. So I prayed for him and everything. So I walked off and here's how I pray for homeless. When I pray for homeless people, I pray like this. Lord, you know this person. You had a plan for them. You created them before time began. And this is what you all have to remember when you're praying for people out there. God has a plan for them, and the enemy has lied to them. They have believed these lies. You know, so they have fell into some kind of trap. These are captives out of God's will. You see what I mean? So you have to pray that all of that would break and that they would come back to God and that he would be able to fulfill the destiny that was planned for them. Because the worst thing that can happen to somebody is to die without fulfilling their destiny. That is just such a terrible thing. And so I prayed, Lord, you know, you have a plan for this person. You brought them down here for a reason. So I am partnering with heaven that purpose would come to pass. So we break every chain and we break every yoke off their life, every lie of the devil they're believing, and every spell, incantation, and curse broken in the name of Jesus. You know, demons let go of them in the name of Jesus. The kingdom of God has come unto them for a reason. So God's will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, and so I go down into the tube and I am on fire. I am so excited for God and obeying God that when you win people to Jesus or you're obeying God and you're just, I mean, it's like the biggest euphoria you could ever get. It is the greatest feeling beyond measure. The joy that overflows you. And that's how I felt going down the tube. So I'm in the tube. And I'm like, you know, sitting in the train with no money. And I'm like, wow, God, that just felt so good. I just love you so much, Lord. So I get off the train and this woman calls me and she goes, do you have your rent this month? I'm like, no, ma'am. She goes, how much is it? I said, $1,750. She goes, give me the phone number to your apartment complex. The Lord told me to pay your rent. And she took care of it. And that's how God did it. So the Lord spoke to me. He said, see, I wanted your $5 so I could give you $1,750. You know, that's where obedience. Obedience is where your wealth is, type of deal. So let's go back to the word here. And you know, yesterday on our prayer call, that is what God was stressing does as well. You know, is to just trust in Him. Ask Him first. Listen. Remember yesterday about the story of them in the desert, the three kings that come together to fight an enemy, you know, the children of Israel. And then they asked God, God, what do you want us to do? And God said, dig a ditch in the desert. They had no idea what for. I mean, there's no water around. And the prophet even told him, which was Elisha, you know, he told him, he said, your water ain't going to come from the sky. So you just need to dig a ditch and just be happy about it, you know. And that's how we have to be with God when He says, give away all your money, even though you don't understand why. Go to this town, even though you don't understand why, you know. Because He always knows what's over there, and that's where your faith comes in. Okay, so here we go. Walk in wisdom for toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace and seasoned with salt. You know, with me being over there on Facebook, I'm really paying attention to this scripture. Because I haven't been on there in 4 years. So a lot of the family members, you know, which they all knew why I left because of their brain initiative or whatever. But when I come back, I told them, I'm coming back because I know my time is up and I want to build relationships again. So if any of you guys have anything against me, bring it on, you know, because I want to deal with it on this side of glory. You know, I want to be able to stand before God knowing that I've done all I can do, you know, to make amends with people, you know, because doing what I do on the global level, I've offended a lot of people. And the truth is offensive. I get that, you know, but maybe my methods were not so perfect. So I want to make sure before I leave, because I know my time is coming to a close. I want to make sure before I leave that I have peace, you know, and it's working. But one of the shocking things I've discovered being back on Facebook, which kind of hurts my feelings, but it is what it is, you know, I've got all my family on there, you know, and they all know what my heart was when I come back. And it's been like crickets, you know, which a lot of them have taken the V and whatnot, and they, you know, don't like me because of my position on it or whatever. But anyway, so I told them, I said, well, you know, I've tried for a month just to be, you know, soft and quiet and everything. But if nobody's going to talk to me, I'm just going to be myself on here because I've got all these people from all over the world wanting to be my friend on here. You know, they want relationship, in other words. So that's what I've done. So I've just now started, you know, putting some things out there, trying to help them with Social Security and stuff like that. Which, by the way, talking about Social Security, This woman called me yesterday and said that she called her local office, and they still have one. And they told her that what that means about the change is if you want to change your any changes to your account, like your, you know, your where your money is going to go, your checking account, you're not going to. There is no more old-fashioned way of doing everything from this point forward is going to have to be done digitally. So to me, basically, it's saying the same thing that we discovered yesterday is that you need to go into your online account. You need to create one. You need to make sure all of your information is updated, okay? Because you're either going to have to do your business there and prove who you are there, or you're going to have to go in the office, okay? Which I told everybody, ain't no way I want to go in the office. So I would do online and be done with. That way you can go in there and check on your stuff all the time and stuff. And if you need to make a change, you can do it immediately. And also, one of the things that they said is going to happen is, see, used to, if you changed your bank account, you'd have to wait 30 days. But now, since AI has taken over, it'll be one day. So that's one change. Hold on just a moment here. In other words, the way that I feel is, you know, I have been a White House correspondent, whether my family likes it or not, and God has put me there for such a time as this. So the knowledge that has been given to me over all these, you know, thousands of news shows I've done and everything is for a reason. So, you know, type of deal. But anyways, the other thing about Social Security that I discovered that they're doing, in case y'all want to know, is called advanced payee. Dennis did get a letter in the mail saying that he needs to confirm his advanced payee, which they do this every year. And they suggest that you have three on there. And what that is if something happens to you, somebody else needs to manage your benefits. You know, which would be your wife or your kids or whatnot. So I suggest if you are married, you know, that you have your spouse on there first, would be number one. But definitely have a child on there as well. Because you know with this deal, you know how things could go type of deal. But anyways, so let's continue. Okay, verse 7. All my state shall Tychus declare unto you who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant of the Lord. When I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your heart. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, which is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Our Aristarchus, my fellow prisoners, salute you, and Marcus, sister, son to Barnabas, touching whom you received commandments, if he comes unto you, receive him. So in other words, he's letting them know, you know, who he's going to send type of deal. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which has been a comfort unto me. Now, I want to talk to you guys about this a minute. And I know this is going to sound weird talking about this in a prayer call, but it's common sense, and I feel like we should discuss it. Okay, Dennis and I, we have goats, okay? So we have a mama goat and a papa goat that was given to us when we got married a couple of years ago when we did our official ceremony, where we did a big grand one where we could invite all of his family and my family. And so when our friends came, you know, they brought us a male goat and a female goat of the same kind. So they have given us two litters or two batches of kids. And this last one, we actually have four kids. We have two boys and two girls. Okay, so one of the girls we sold, and we're considering, because they contacted us last night, and they're asking if we'll give them one of the boys, because the girl is so lonely, because they have so much fun on this farm, running around, jumping around, chasing each other. And now the little girl's so lonely, so we're thinking about giving them a little boy, just because we feel sorry for her. But to the other boy and the girl that we're going to keep, we have to castrate the boy. And the reason is, we learned our lesson, because the first batch that we had two boys. Wait a minute. We had, yeah, she had three kids, but two of them lived. They call them kids. Two of them lived. And they were boys. One of them died at birth. Okay. So the problem was, when the two boys grew up a year later, one of them started humping the mama and started going after the mom, because I guess they don't know boundaries. And so the other one, you know, we sold. But, you know, so we finally had to kill him for meat. His name was Tom. And goat meat's actually really good. I couldn't believe it. It's very tender. And, of course, the way Dennis cooks it, you know, he smokes it in the smoker and he marinates. He knows exactly how to marinate it and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, so we're having to castrate these two little boys. This one that we have that we're going to keep, we're going to have to castrate them. And the reason is because when you have goats that you're going to raise to eat and not breed, you're going to have to castrate them when they're 6 weeks, when they're young like this. And then they grow up and they have a different personality. They're more calmer and, you know, they don't have all the, you know, testosterone or whatever running through them. And so they're just raised mainly for meat. And that's why we hate to really sell the other one, because we want it for meat, but we feel sorry for that little girl. But anyway, so now that we're going through this process and we're learning about having to castrate the male of the goat, you know, and then I read that this morning about circumcision, which is basically that. Think about what circumcision is. So I asked Dennis about it. I was like, you know how we have to castrate our goat? Wonder why God would have his people as a covenant to castrate a male. It just seems weird. Why, you know, why wouldn't he just go ahead and create the male like that? You know, because it's a flap of skin, and you have to cut off that flap of skin. Why wouldn't he just create them without the skin? The only thing I could think of is the clean and the unclean. If y'all know where I'm going with that, I'll leave, because I hate to give everybody that visual. But when I saw that this morning, that's what I was thinking. Who are of the circumcision? Now, in the old covenant, the circumcision was the flesh. Remember, because the flesh is the law, the cookie cutter reasoning. Okay. Now the circumcision is what? The heart. See, Jesus, this is another thing for y'all Bible college students, that's a revelation about the tabernacle, and Jesus is the heart. Because Jesus, now there's the circumcision of the heart. He goes above the law. He goes to the motive of the action. The other is action, flesh. Now he's going to the heart. Why did you do it? That's the circumcision of the heart. If you look at a woman and lust in your heart, you have committed adultery. Yes, I know it's not the same thing, Leslie, but it is on that point. You're still cutting off. But in the adultery deal, if you're looking at a woman, you're lusting in your heart, it's a heart issue. And why is that there? So Jesus is the root. You know, when you pray for a lot of people for deliverance and everything, you pray God cuts that root out. Okay? Why is that? Because there's a root of bitterness. There's a root that is causing them to act that way. Let's take somebody that cusses. If they're cussing, it's because they have things in their heart that's not dealt with. Because when they feel that stress, that's what pops out. Because there's a root there that has not been dealt with. They need to deal with that root. There needs to be a forgiveness and a healing there. You see what I mean? So, that is what Jesus is. He is the root. Remember, he's a tree. He's a tree of life, right? He is the vine. We are connected to the vine, okay? So, let's go to the next verse, and then that's all we have to read of this one. Okay. If Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And let that be our heart's prayer today. God, help us to stand before you, you know, with a pure heart. Healing our roots, Lord, so that we can love better and serve better. Amen. So I hope that really encouraged you guys today in Colossians chapter 4. And I hope today has helped you to understand, you know, the Lord better and the Trinity, to understand the Trinity better. And what the soul is, the mind, the will, and the emotions, what's in the middle. And that is what is judged. And that is what will go to hell. When you go to hell, you will remember. People remember. They have a memory. Their mind will be down there. They will feel the pain. They will remember what all the times that God tried to woo them in. They will have an understanding of what it was that caused them to go there. And I believe it's that same way in heaven. In heaven, whenever you go, you'll see your family. And when you cross over, you'll see your family and you will be known as you were. You know, and Brock, when he went to heaven, the Lord showed him when he went to see the mansions that whatever your heart's desire was on the earth, you will have in heaven. Like, say, if you was a soccer player and that was your love and you spent your whole life and, you know, God really used you in that sport, when you get up there, you'll probably have a big soccer field in your backyard or something. You know what I mean? My mother, she loves redbirds. I told you a story of her redbirds. She gets to heaven and has all these redbirds in her house. And then this other woman was from like the Philippines, and she lived by a waterfall, and she used to pray and talk to God all the time by the waterfall. God gave her a waterfall right in the middle of her mansion. That waterfall just flows down, and she gets to see it throughout eternity. Isn't that amazing? Something else that Brock said that was pretty cool is people that did great things in the earth, that God used them in miraculous ways, actually have like memorials up there. And they will stand there and tell their stories to all the people throughout eternity of what God did while they was on the earth, which is pretty cool, huh? So I know for me, I can't wait to meet Paul. I want to find out about Paul and Moses. I want to hear from Moses, Esther. You know, it'd be so cool to sit around and just hear all their stories throughout eternity. Well, the days of listening to stories are not over, believe me. God's all about storytelling. And did y'all know that I'm Cherokee Indian? And did you know that Cherokees are known for storytellers? They're storytellers. So I thought, it is me. All right, so that's all I have for today. I want to encourage all of you guys to go sign up for our praying and fasting event that we are having April 1st through the 3rd. We really need this. I want us to pray for the body of Christ, that they will come out of their you know, stupor type of deal, and pray for our families and pray for God to help us to make it through this next thing that we're going to have to go through type of deal. And we know that President Trump just met yesterday with the crypto kings of the earth, who just had a big conference in New York. He brought them all to the White House, and they had a big meeting about Web 3.0 yesterday. So if people have got to understand what Web 3.0 is, they've got to be ready for this. You know, it's Microsoft 060606. It's the cryptocurrency platform where they can begin to you know, use people for their energy. It's going to be their batteries type of deal. All right, so I'm going to stop the recording, and then we're going to start on the prayer line.